Once Srila Prabhupada was given 5 minutes on television. 5 minutes. He said, I can speak the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness in 5 minutes. Challenges you face in a highly materialistic society, trying to pursue, which means that you also represent a highly developed spiritual aim of life, which is very difficult for materialistic people to understand. It's very difficult for them to understand why you should want to live like that at all. Why you should not enjoy yourself when all the propaganda from all around is that you should enjoy yourself. Atheism. So, why should you believe all these things? What is the evidence? Isn't it atheists say, what is the evidence there's God? Show me. What would you say to that? What is the evidence that there are subatomic particles? Show me. You believe in subatomic particles? Show me. Can you show me subatomic particles? What would they say?
Yeah, if you have a microscope, you can see it on an electron microscope.
You can. How would you know it's subatomic particles? I mean, you can see anything, and how would you know it's subatomic particles? Have you kaleidoscope? They don't give such innocent toys as kaleidoscopes to children anymore. But there's the kind of, in the pre-iPhone, pad, pod, smartphone age, one of the things that kids used to be given were kaleidoscopes. Any of you know what kaleidoscopes are? Yeah, you're a little bit innocent. You go like this and it changes. So you might see something on a screen and it looks something like a kaleidoscope. What are you doing in Dubai? You're here? Okay, Hari Bol. Actually, you're here, all right. What are you doing? You're chanting Hare Krishna, right? The last time I was here, you came and sang, right? I called you to sing. Sorry, brain is getting worn out here. Worn out old brain. So, how do you know it's subatomic particles? How far away is the sun? Very far. Come on, that's not scientific. It's not scientific. Anyone? Come on, you all know this. Any of the very highly intelligent young ladies here can say?
92 something like
it. Supposed to be 93 million miles. At least when I went to school, but maybe it's changed since then. Because science is always evolving, right? So, okay, 93 million miles. Right, do you believe what I said? Isn't that supposed to be the scientific thing? I don't think that changed since in the last... When was I released from school? When did I escape from school? That was about 45-something years, 46 years ago. So I think they still... It must be 93 million years. 93 million miles. Okay, all right. Are you all okay with that? What's the proof? When you look, it doesn't look like 93 million miles, does it? What's the proof?
Scientific research.
That's okay, so I can say God, scientific research. There are plenty of scientists who believe in God, right? The fact is, you don't know. And I don't know either, but you accept because the scientists say so. You say that they say, "Show me God, show me subatomic particles." You can see, but to understand what's on the screen, you have to take training, right? Otherwise, it could be just anything on a screen, but when you're trained, you can understand. If you are trained in atomic physics, then what do you see? You see, you're looking at me, I'm looking at you. If you're trained in atomic physics, you'll see not just the direct objects that we see, but you'll see everything in terms of atomic physics, that this is, it's actually so many particles whizzing around each other. If you're trained in astrology and you meet someone and you say, "What's your sign, what's your star?" Then you see in terms of that, "Oh, you're a Librian." And that means whatever it means, because I don't know what it means. But those who, if you're trained in Ayurveda, then you see, "Oh, you must be a cough a pitta." Right? And that affects your... Is that what they say about you? You don't know. Generally by seeing the body you can have some idea. And then you'll expect the character to be like this, the health to be like this. You see through certain eyes. You see, we see through the eye of knowledge. I just gave a talk, seeing through the eye of knowledge. It's stated in Bhagavad Gita. Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. Whatever we see, we don't just see it, but we see it through a world view. We interpret it through what we perceive to be reality. Shraddha mayo, the Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita. Shraddha mayo yang purusha yo yat shraddha sa eva saha. Everyone has a kind of world view by which they see the world. And we interpret everything according to that. So we can be trained to see God. If you say, "Show me God," yes, we can show you, but you have to take training. Can you show me subatomic particles? Yes, but you have to take the training in order that you can recognize it. Just like, for instance, if we can say, "Can you show me the Prime Minister of India?" I could show you, but if you don't recognize who that person is, then you may just see it. There may be a crowd of people and he's standing in the crowd, but you can't see the Prime Minister of India because he just looks like any other human being, any male of that age. But he looks like this, this is the Prime Minister, then you can recognize. If you have trained in advance to understand, then you can interpret and understand what is reality. But all this discussion is a bit much. It's a bit too much for people who say, "Show me God." It's a very stupid thing to say, actually. "Show me God. I don't believe unless I can see it." It's a very stupid thing to say. It shows a very shallow way of thinking. So you can say, "Yeah, we can show you, but you have to take the process. We can show you subatomic particles, but if you see, you won't recognize. You have to take training. To take the training, you have to go to college, study for years. Then you can understand." So in the same way, we can show you God, but you have to take the training. And the training begins with sense control. Purification of consciousness. It's not just to see, it requires to see God who is all pure requires purity of consciousness. So that for that one has to do sadhana, one has to refrain from sinful activities. But they want to engage in sinful activities and therefore they say there's no God. They don't want to think, because thinking means, if they start to think, then it becomes, they don't want to think about such matters, because if they start to think, then it becomes a big challenge. It's easier to live like an animal. Just eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Ahara nidra bhaya maitun. It's easier. But the result is you become an animal. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So it works in the karmic field also. Why are some people born in a rich family with healthy bodies, good intelligence, Janmaishwarya Shuddha Shri, and others are born in a very difficult situation? Some are born as cats and dogs. Why? Why is that? It's all karmic reactions. Nothing in the universe is going on simply by whimsy. Anyway, this atheism, it's a very, even scientifically, it's a very poor position. Some years ago, I was speaking in a university in Ireland about some of these topics, and there was a professor there. I was saying how we can't trust the scientists because they're always changing their opinions, and this professor, who happened to be a lady, became quite upset, which you can expect. So he said that, well, there's proof that there's no God. And what do you mean there's proof there's no God? He said, scientific. I said, well, you see, I'm a layman, I'm not a scientist. But there are many qualified scientists, and in fact one of the most, there was in Northern Ireland, Belfast, and one of the most outspoken critics of atheism is a professor from Northern Ireland, from Belfast. So he said, I'm a layman. Okay, so I don't know science, but some scientists say that there is God and some say there isn't God. Some say that evolutionary theory is correct and others say it's not correct. So I'm a layman. From the scientific point of view, I can't say either way. But they all have the same training, they all have the same data, they all have the information. That means that your science is not scientific, right? If you all have the same training and the information and the same data, you should all come to the same conclusion. It means it's not scientific, it's subjective. So science can't tell you whether there's God or not, because some are saying science shows there's God and some say science shows there is no God. So where's the science? It's not a subject for science at all. Science can tell you that if you burn hydrogen in an atmosphere of oxygen and collect the liquid residue, you'll end up with dihydrogen oxide, commonly known as water. But you don't have to do that because it's much easier. God provides so much water, except in Dubai. But you can, anyway, you can arrange it some other way. There is some spring out there somewhere. And there's plenty of salty water all around, which you get money by exporting oil, and then you have money to desalinate it, and so on and so on and so on. No, in other words, you shouldn't be swayed by these atheistic arguments. It's just very shallow. And another common one they make is that most scientists are atheists. So that shows that atheism must be for highly intelligent people. Not necessarily so. And in fact, if you ask most scientists, it's not that they've studied very deeply about all these issues. It's just the propaganda is that if you're scientific, you shouldn't believe in God. And so they go along with it. That's all. They're human beings after all. And if everyone around you is an atheist, sangat sanjayate kamaha, so if everyone says, no God, no God, then you also say, no God, no God. But they haven't studied, very few people have studied these issues very deeply. Most people are too lazy to do so. Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness in a scientific manner, which doesn't mean that we can find God in a test tube. We can find Him everywhere, in a test tube, outside a test tube. But not when Srila Prabhupada used the word scientific, it wasn't exactly in the manner that the word is commonly understood, but in the sense that it can be understood by rigid intellectual inquiry. There is a particular methodology that we have to follow. Just like if in science, if you want to study subatomic particles, there's a certain methodology to do that. If you want to understand the formation of clouds, there's a different methodology. It's all science. But the principle is that there are certain things that we wish to understand, and we have to approach it in a systematic way. So the existence of God can be understood to some extent in a scientific way. It's not a very difficult thing to understand. That you can look on the internet, arguments against atheism. There should be some intelligence to put this whole thing together. Oh, how many times have I been through this? Okay, this is a watch, right? Where did I get the watch from? I was lying asleep early one morning. I heard an explosion outside the room. I went outside, and from the explosion this watch had come. It's a joke. It's nonsense. Okay, so there was an explosion and the whole universe came. Should we believe it? How much intelligence went into making this thing, which we don't even think it's anything very special at all. How much intelligence went into making it? I don't talk now because I don't have too much time, but you could write a whole book about all the different factors which went into making this watch. And we think it's a simple thing. But it's the level of complexity of the universe is so much greater than this, and we can't. It requires intelligent design. There should be a God. I can't speak about it too much now. But anyway, don't be swayed by atheistic propaganda. What's the antidote for atheistic propaganda? What does Srila Prabhupada say in the beginning of Bhagavatam, in the introduction to Bhagavatam, that by studying the Bhagavatam, verse by verse, with the Sanskrit, the word by word purports, the translation and the purports, by the end of the ninth canto, one will be a God-realized person and will be able to defend himself from the onslaught of atheists. Read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm so fortunate and so happy that Srila Prabhupada has kindly accepted me at his lotus feet. And I highly recommend to all of you that you take shelter at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, which is the gateway to the lotus feet of Krishna. Hare Krishna. I have to go now. We all have to go, sooner or later. Where are you going to? Plan your journey now. We all have to go to Krishna, but you have to plan your journey now. Hare Krishna.